From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Listener, here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo hopes that tax incentive can increase Indonesia's competitiveness. President Joko Widodo wants equality between conventional and e-commerce business people. Now the news in detail. In a limited cabinet meeting that took place at the State Palace in Jakarta on Friday, President Joko Widodo discussed tax provisions and facilities for strengthening the economy. He explained that tax reform is very important to be completed. It is intended that Indonesia could anticipate the global economic slowdown and be able to escape from the middle-class income trap, including optimizing Indonesia's economic competitiveness. In regard to this, President Joko Widodo asked his aides to improve the implementation of providing tax incentives for investors and labor-intensive industries requiring tax subsidies. He also hopes that the tax incentive policy can have a big impact on increasing Indonesia's competitiveness and opening up significant employment opportunities for the community.
Karena itu untuk mendukung peningkatan daya saing lapangan kerja, saya minta implementasi pemberian insentif.
To support the improvement of competitiveness, employment creation, I ask the implementation of providing tax incentives through several instruments such as tax holidays, tax allowances, investment allowances, super deduction taxes for the development of vocational and R&D activities. Labor-intensive industries are very important. Labor-intensive industries also need exemption from import duty and tax subsidies. Meanwhile, related to tax reform, President Joko Widodo hopes that tax directorate at the Ministry of Finance can continue to make sustainable efforts such as improving tax administration, increasing taxpayer compliance, and strengthening database and tax information system. President Joko Widodo asked his ministers to take policies which equalize tax obligations for businesses people in Indonesia, both conventional businesses and e-commerce. This was stated by President Joko Widodo when opening a limited cabinet meeting on taxation provisions and facilities for strengthening the economy at the presidential office in Jakarta on Friday. He also explained that equalizing regulations about tax obligations for conventional and e-commerce businesses can optimize government tax revenues in the digital era nowadays.
Saya juga minta
President also requested to equalize level playing field for conventional and e-commerce business people and to optimize tax revenue in the current digital era. Meanwhile, to improve Indonesia's economic competitiveness, President Joko Widodo also said that Tax incentive is not the only instrument that can be done. He further said the tax incentive policy must also be accompanied by a simplification and acceleration of investment licensing in the regions across Indonesia. Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia Ishi Masafumi met Coordinating Minister of Political, Legal and Security Affairs Mahfud MD in Jakarta on Friday. After the meeting, Minister Mahfud asserted that Ambassador Ishi wants to strengthen cooperation in the security and defense sector. The meeting also discussed Japan's desire to strengthen cooperation with Indonesian Maritime Security Agency or Bakamla, Ministry of Maritime and Fishery, and a number of other state institutions. Ambassador Ishii said that he also wants the next meeting to take place in Japan in the context of strengthening cooperation between the two countries. Minister of Maritime and Fishery Edi Prabowo stated that fish consumption is a quick solution to overcome the stunting problem that occurs in various regions across Indonesia. In a press release in Jakarta on Friday, he said that Indonesia must eradicate stunting. Fish is one of the easiest and faster solutions. In commemorating the 6th National Fish Day or Harkannas, Minister Edi invited 1,000 students and at least thousands of employees were present to jointly eat fish at Minabahari 3 parking area of the Ministry of Maritime and Fishery in Jakarta on Thursday. The Ministry of Maritime and Fishery is to provide adequate nutrition for the community to grow healthy, strong, and smart. The value of fishery export in Central Java Province in the period January until October 2019 reached 2.4 trillion rupiah with an export volume of more than 41,000 tons. Governor of Central Java Ganjar Pranowo, after releasing the 2019 fisheries export in Semarang on Friday, said that Central Java fishery products have been exported to 11 countries: the United States, Italy, China, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Vietnam, Malaysia, the Philippines, Brunei, and Singapore. He also mentioned that the export potential of crab and tilapia fish, which is cultivated in Klaten Regency, is very good, so it needs to be developed. He hopes the development of the Central Java fisheries sector can have a positive impact in order to improve the national economy. The Indonesian government strengthens trade relations with the United States by targeting total trade between the two countries around $60 billion. To achieve the target, Deputy Minister of Trade Jerry Sambuaga paid a working visit to New York and Washington, D.C., USA on November 16 until 20, 2019. Through official information received in Jakarta on Friday, he said that Indonesia's trade relations with U.S. are very important for both countries. Both of them are committed to achieving the agreed trade targets. The International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, under the United Nations, urges Iran to be fully cooperative in resolving extraordinary problems. This was stated by Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA, Cornel Veruta, in a meeting with the Governing Council at the headquarters, Vienna. Veruta shared the report at the meeting. He gave details relating to Iran installing a number of sophisticated types of centrifuges at the pilot enrichment plant in Natanz. This is aimed not only at research and development purposes, but also uranium enrichment and the resumption of uranium enrichment at the Fordo plant. In a statement reported by Anadolu Agency on Friday, Veruta stated that Iran must cooperate with the UN agency to immediately resolve this issue. Well, listener, that's the news read by Ahmad Faisal.
The first news comes from Bau Bau, Southeast Sulawesi. the Pekka Kande Kandeya tradition was held in the series of the 6th Asian Indigenous Peoples Festival or FKMA in Bau Bau City, Southeast Sulawesi. It won an award from the Indonesian Record Museum or MURI for its 3 km presentation around Buton Keraton Fortress. Pekka Kande Kandeya is a tradition of eating together in trays filled with food. The mayor of Bau Bau, Tamrin, received the award with great joy because the 6th Asian Indigenous Peoples Festival was targeted at developing tourism and culture to sustain the economic growth of the citizens of the city of Bau Bau. Tamrin also reported that the day before, or Thursday, November 19, 2019, the city of Bau Bau had also received an award from the central government as the Healthy City of the Wiwer Daswasti Sabah category, which was received directly by Deputy Mayor La Ode Ahmad Moniansi at the Ministry of Internal Affairs in Jakarta. The next news comes from Jayapura, Papua. The Papua Archaeological Center held the Civilization House of Tutari megalithic site for millennial generation in Kampung Doyo Lama, Waibu District, Jayapura Regency, Papua, on Wednesday morning. Senior researcher from the Papua Archaeology Center, Hari Suroto, said that the activity was attended by elementary, junior high school students and accompanying teachers from Jayapura City and Regency. Students also participated in various competitions, including drawing a map of the Republic of Indonesia, drawing Garuda Pancasila, drawing megalithic Tutari motifs with paper media, a Santani folklore contest, and a pottery reconstruction competition. There are also games for students, namely Yales and stand-up comedy Papuan style. The holding of the House of Civilization at the Tutari megalithic site in 2019 was the third year carried out by the Papua Archaeological Center. The latest news comes from Teluk Wondama, West Papua. The latest research results from the Papua Archaeological Center succeeded in finding wreckage of Japanese aircraft in the Namamura Strait, Kampung Aisandami, Ron District, Teluk Wondama Regency, West Papua Province. Researchers from the Papua Archaeological Center, Suroto Hari, on Wednesday said that the wreckage of the plane was found at a depth of 20 meters. According to him, the condition of the aircraft is no longer intact, but the type of Japanese fighter, the Mitsubishi A6M0, can still be recognized. The research was the result of collaboration with the Teluk Wondama Regional Development Planning Development Agency. According to him, the depth of 20 meters in the Namamura Strait is very suitable for both the beginner to advanced divers. Landscape at a depth of 20 meters in the strait is suitable for wall diving and the sensation of enjoying the current. According to Suroto Hari, Ron Island, Teluk Wondama, West Papua offers the sensation of diving in World War II wreck diving. And listener, that was news from Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. We begin Today in History with event November 23, 1980, about a series of earthquakes in southern Italy. An earthquake occurred in Irpinia region, southern Italy, on Sunday, 23 November 1980. The earthquake with magnitude of 6.8 on Richter scale centered in Conza village. 4,800 people were killed and more than 10,000 people were injured. The government of Italy spent about $58.64 billion to reconstruct the damaged area, while €100 million came from other countries. We turn to the event of 23rd November 1996. About Ethiopian Airlines Flight 961 was hijacked and fell in Indian Ocean. Ethiopian Airlines Flight 961, a type of Boeing 767 with Addis Ababa Nairobi route, was hijacked on 23rd November 1996. The airline carried out an emergency landing in Legalawa Islands, Moroni, Komoro, because of running out of fuel. The accident caused of 123 people dead, and it injured other 52 passengers. We end today in history with the event of 23rd November 2003 about President Georgia Edward M. Rosevic Shevardnadze stepped down from his position. Georgia Edward Shevardnadze became president of Georgia in 1995, and he resigned on 23rd November 2003 amidst the Rose Revolution rage. Under his leadership, Mikhail Gorbachev served as Foreign Minister of Soviet Union in 1985 until 1990. The political maneuver of Shevardnadze had made him get epithet Tetrimelia. Well, listener, that's today in history.
Tak mau lagi bersama dengannya. Aku mau lagi bersama denganmu. Sekarang ku tak sanggup berpisah dari dirimu, oh kasihnya. Yeah.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's edition is Open Indonesian Market After RCEP. The Indonesian market will be opened up to 65% of the partner countries after the initial implementation of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership or RCEP trade agreement. Donald Gultom, Director of ASEAN Negotiations, Directorate General of International Trade Negotiation, Indonesian Ministry of Trade, stated it in a discussion titled RCEP, Hoping for Investment in Jakarta on Wednesday. She said the market opening would be carried out in stages after the agreement was concluded in 2020. Donald Gultom explained the figure would be 65% at the time of implementation and continue to grow for the next 20 years to 89.5%. She ensures that the government will make every effort to place a number of sensitive goods or commodities into the highly sensitive list category or even to be included in the exclusion list or excluded from free trade with partner countries. Some of the sensitive lists are iron, steel, rice, sugar, and meat. According to Donald Gultom, the provision was applied so that investment flows could still be pushed in and countries taking part in the agreement could take advantage of the opening of markets. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, was a form of ASEAN's response to economic dynamics in the region and globally in the integration of ASEAN countries with the global economy. RCEP has a progressive goal to eliminate tariffs and non-tariff barriers and facilitate an increased transparency among member countries. The unification of 16 countries, namely 10 ASEAN countries, with 6 partner countries, namely China, Japan, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, and India, in a free trade agreement scheme will make RCEP a large trade bloc that controls a third of the world. Nevertheless, India has yet to agree and ensure itself to join the RCEP while the negotiations should have been completed this year. If India officially joins RCEP, the region will become the largest market. Because 29% of world trade is in the region, it will also have a large market potential with up to 48% of the world's population and a total 32% of world GDP. These potentials are expected to drive investment flows directly into the RCEP region. Well, listener, that's My Indonesia for today's edition, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Seperti rembulan menemani malam, jangan kau mencintai.
Herrera was office for Southern Asia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Indonesian Wonder. Today we will introduce you Git Git Twin Waterfall from Bali. Stay tuned. Bali is indeed a tourism spot famous for its beauty. Besides being famous for its beach tourism, it is also famous for its waterfall tourism. The most popular at the moment is Git Git Twin Waterfall. Git Git Twin Waterfall is located in Git Git Village, Sukasada Sub-District, Buleleng Regency. The distance from the Bedugul Tourism Area is around 16 km, while from Denpasar around 66 km. If the waterfall is usually in the middle of the forest or on a steep cliff, the twin waterfalls of Git Git are between the villages and the clove gardens. This tourism attraction is very easy to find. Git Git Twin Waterfall is said to be twins because these waterfalls pull down to one and the same point side by side. This waterfall is not too high, but it is quite beautiful. Git Git Waterfall tourism object offers fresh natural mountain water with a beautiful forest environment. This place is very appropriate for lovers of tourist trekking because they have to climb down and winding roads. Before reaching the waterfall, you will be treated to an exotic view. Therefore, it is recommended that you do not use a motorbike but rather walk through the cemented path. You will not feel tired even though the terrain is a bit heavy because you will be treated to views of the expanse of rice fields and plantations of residents around the waterfall. You will feel the cool air, peaceful atmosphere, plus the melodious sound of the waterfall. Here you can also soak. Git Git Twin Waterfall is also the highest waterfalls in Bali. To be able to see the Git Git Twin Waterfall up close, you have to pay an entrance ticket of 3,000 rupiah per person. Because the Git Git Waterfall is already very well known, the roads and stairs in the Git Git Waterfall are well maintained, making it easy for tourists to visit. Listener, after enjoying the Git Git Twin Waterfall, you can buy food, drinks, and souvenirs typical of Bali around the Git Git Twin Waterfall. Your vacation will be very exciting. So listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today about Git Git Twin Waterfall in Bali. We'll meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
From Indonesia to the world.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miscellany. Today we will inform you about Borobudur Writers and Cultural Festival 2019. Stay tuned. Listener, Borobudur Writers and Cultural Festival is an annual meeting for fiction and non-fiction writers, creative workers, cross-faith cultural and religious activists who raise a theme to stimulate participants in a bid to realize the uniqueness and richness of various literary, artistic, and religious thoughts of the archipelago. This year, this international scale event has entered its 8th year. With a theme God and Nature, Borobudur Writers and Cultural Festival invites visitors to review the works of Zoet Mulder, a Catholic clergyman and Dutch cultural researcher who became an Indonesian citizen and devoted himself to researching the works of old Javanese literature. The event, which took place from November 21st to 23rd, was centered in the Borobudur Temple area, Magelang, Central Java. A series of events have been prepared to enliven the 2019 Borobudur Writers and Cultural Festival. In addition to a series of symposiums presented by speakers from within and outside the country, there are also different reliefs of the Borobudur Temple, art performances and literary nights, fairy tale workshops, yoga and meditation, as well as the Sanghyang Kamahayanikan Award. The Sanghyang Kamahayanikan Award this year was awarded to Professor Dr. Achadiyati Ikram, whose works that are considered influential in the world of philological archipelago. Through the Borobudur Writers and Cultural Festival, it is hoped that it will arouse interest, especially for young people, to study ancient manuscripts as the national identity. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today about Borobudur Writers and Cultural Festival 2019. I'm Puri Safri Adela. See you next time.
Bahagia karena dia ya. cinta hanya dia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. In today's edition, we will present a keroncong song entitled Kalung Mutiara, which was composed by Gesang. The song Kalung Mutiara tells about love story of two lovers with different culture and country. The love trip ends by parting. Similar story always exists all the time, even in the struggle era of Indonesian independence. The lyric of the song written her lover is about going home to her homeland and the girlfriend never comes back. Kalung Mutiara in English pearl necklace has been given by him. Now it becomes an unforgettable memory along her life. Well, listener, here is Kalung Mutiara sung by Mini Satrio.
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia.
Perahu kertasku kan melaju. Surat cinta bagimu, kata-kata yang sedikit gila, tapi ini adanya. Perahu kertas mengingatkanku betapa ajaib hidup ini. Cari-cari tamu
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safidadala. See you on the next English program.